back to Luke 14 and look secondly at the immediate context. And I want to begin reading with verse 25. Now great multitudes went with him, and he turned and said to them, "If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not sit down first and count the cost, whether he has enough to finish it? Lest after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, does not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is still a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks conditions of peace. So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Now, what was Jesus talking about? He was talking about what true discipleship looks like. And he makes two points here, both very important. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus, there are two things that you need to do. The first is you have to count the cost. And he told two rather short stories about what it means to count the cost. The first story was about a builder. He was a man, he was going to build something. In this case, it says a tower. A builder has to make sure that they have enough money to finish the job. We would say today that he has to have all of his finances lined up before he starts the project. The second story was about a king. A king has to make sure that if he is going to battle, he can win the battle with the troops that he has. He has to make sure he has some military or strategic advantage over his opponent, or he is going to be in trouble. Now, the point of both the illustration of the builder and the king is that they have to count the cost of their actions. They have to understand what they are getting themselves into and what will happen if they fail. If you are going to be a follower of Jesus, you have to count the cost of what it means to be a Christian. And can I tell you that I don't think most people, most Christians today in churches like ours, have counted the cost. Now, the second thing that you have to do is you have to be willing to surrender everything. This is part of counting the cost. Look at verse 33. "So likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple." Now, Jesus is not saying that you have to give everything away and live like a pauper. He's saying that you have to be willing to give everything away. He's talking here about commitment. There has to be a willingness to surrender everything to Jesus. God wants us to surrender everything that is vying for our affections, that is vying for our hearts, everything that gets in the way of our relationship with Him. One writer said, "There will be rivals warring for supremacy over the throne of your heart, but your love for King Jesus must defeat every one of them." You see, Jesus doesn't want half-hearted followers. William led us in prayer this morning, and I appreciate the fact that he remembered the people in Afghanistan and the soldiers who lost their lives. William is one of our soldiers. That was close to his heart. Let me ask you a question. Do you want half-hearted soldiers representing you? No, we don't. Why do we then have so many half-hearted spiritual soldiers? Why do we have so many half-hearted spiritual Christians in the church today? God is not looking for half-hearted followers. He is not looking for part-time disciples. He's looking for people who are willing to surrender everything to Him, to use everything that they have for His kingdom. So the immediate context of His statement on hating our parents and our spouses and our children is, you have to count the cost, number one. Number two, you have to be willing to surrender everything. Now, the third thing that we need to look at is the bigger picture. We need to step back now and look at the larger picture of this statement. And essentially, we're asking here, what did Jesus mean then by what He said? And there are two things that we need to look at under this topic. The first is, we need to look at the parallel statements of Jesus. Like most teachers, Jesus often repeated Himself. He often said the same thing or almost the same thing on different occasions. And so you'll find that throughout the Gospels. In this case, He did just that. At a different time, in a different place, Matthew records for us in Matthew chapter 10 and verse 37 the words of Jesus. He who loves father or mother more than Me is not worthy of Me, and he who loves son or daughter more than Me is not worthy of Me. Now you immediately notice the difference between what Luke recorded and what Matthew recorded. Luke said hate, Matthew said love more than Me. Matthew helps us understand what Jesus meant in Luke. It's not about hating someone. It's about loving Jesus more. It's about a level of commitment to Jesus. The second thing is the language that Jesus used. Last Sunday, I talked to you about figures of speech. The Bible uses many, many figures of speech, just like we do in our everyday conversation or in our writing. That doesn't make the Bible less literal. All languages use some form of figures of speech, metaphors, comparisons, similes, exaggeration, hyperbole, and a host of others. When Jesus said, if anyone comes to Me and does not hate his father or mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be My disciple. He was using a figure of speech called hyperbole or exaggeration. Have you noticed in your life that you have met people who like to exaggerate? Sometimes they do it to make themselves look good. Some people are prone to exaggeration. They like to make everything they say exciting or dangerous or more important than it really is. But when exaggeration is done right, it's used to get our attention. It grabs us by the front of the shirt and shakes us up. It doesn't speak, it screams. And that's what Jesus was trying to do. He was trying to get the people's attention by using a word that is shocking in its effect. When Jesus said that you had to hate your parents, He was not making an ethical statement about whether you should love your parents or not. This is a spiritual statement about your commitment to Jesus. And if we are going to get hung up on the idea of hate, we have missed the bigger picture here of what Jesus is saying. He used the language of hate to get our attention so He could talk to us about commitment. Jesus is saying that Jesus is saying that if you are going to be His follower, you have to be all in. No half-hearted followers. There has to be a level of commitment to Jesus that goes beyond anything else in your life. So the larger context of the Old Testament's use of the word hatred, the immediate context of counting the cost and surrendering everything, and the bigger picture of the parallel statement of Matthew and figures of speech all point to the idea that Jesus is saying, if anyone comes to me and does not love me more than he loves his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. That's what Jesus was saying. Now let's bring this down to a personal level. How does this teaching touch our lives? Well, let me give you two things. The first is, we're calling this the insights. It's not easy to follow Jesus. Christianity today has lost some of its difficulty. We want Christianity to be easy, to be comfortable. We want to take Jesus on our terms. But Christianity is not easy, it is not comfortable, and if you have to count the cost, you have to count the cost. You have to see if you are willing to give everything that Jesus asks. Nothing must stand between you and Jesus. And can I tell you, Jesus is worth it? One writer said, devotion to Jesus must be so wholehearted that even attachment to parents and to the other members of one's family must not be allowed to stand in the way. That does not mean that you love your wife less. It does not mean that you love your husband less. It means that you love Jesus more. I have to tell you that I am so impressed by people who have given their lives to go to another country and share the gospel. We call them missionaries. And I have many, many missionary friends. As a church, we support a number of missionaries who have gone around the world to share the gospel, some of them in very dangerous situations, some of them in very difficult places. Many missionaries, I would say most missionaries, are serving God at a great personal sacrifice, and I'm sure that you know many of them. One of the things that is impressive about most missionaries is that they have not taken the easy way. They have chosen the hard road. They know that it is not easy to follow Jesus, and they have chosen the hard way. Another writer said, what the Savior demands is complete devotion, the type of loyalty that is so true and unswerving that every other attachment, even that to one's own life, must be subjugated to it. Never think that it's easy to be a Christian. If you do it right, it's not easy to follow Jesus. If it's easy for you, I want to suggest to you that you're not doing something right. The gospel is easy to believe. It is not easy to live. The second thing that I want to share with you is following Jesus requires everything. Christianity is not a Sunday morning religion. Christianity is a 24/7 religion, 365 days a year. It requires that you give Jesus everything. Your time, he wants all of it. Your money, all of it. Your abilities, all of them. Your effort, all of it. The things you own, all of them. That's what it means to love Jesus more than anything or anyone else. God demands everything. And if that seems like too much for you, then perhaps Christianity isn't for you. You've probably never heard a pastor say that before. You might be shocked. But Jesus said it. If anyone comes to me and does not hate his father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. That's what Christianity is. You may not have known that when you first came to Jesus Christ. I didn't know that. I was 8 years old. I couldn't have known that. But now you do know it. And you have a choice, even those of you who say, I'm a Christian, you have a choice today. Either to say, no, that's too much for me, or I'm all in. Jesus is not looking for half-hearted followers. He's not looking for people who want the easy way. He's looking for people who are willing to count the cost and say, I'm all in. And my challenge is to every single one of us today, Christians or not Christians, here in the auditorium, watching over Facebook Live, listening over Uber Conference, my challenge is, are you willing to be all in for Jesus? Now, you're going to have to decide what that looks like in your life. But Jesus wants people who are all in. Are you willing to be all in? If not, can I just say, stop playing the Christian game. Just get out. There are other religions you can go to who don't demand nearly as much. Find one that makes you feel good. Christianity is not for you. Christianity is not for half-hearted followers. It is not for people who want the easy road. It is hard. It is difficult. But it's worth it. Would you pray with me? Father, this is a hard saying. This is a hard thing for us. You're asking for everything. Everything that we are, everything that we have. And if we can't give you everything, you said we can't be your followers. Lord, this is difficult. This is hard. And all I can pray this morning, Lord, is that you will speak to each of us in the quietness of our hearts and show us what we have held back. Show us what we have kept for ourselves. And build within us a desire, a burning passion to love you more than anything else.